Shalom, Havarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely lady and our teacher of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
And shalom to all, and may His peace and joy saturate your entire being. Let us pray.
Glory and praise to You, O Lord. We pray for the abundance of more souls to come to know You, as our time is so short. We accept Your will in all things, even if we don't understand why, for our faith is strong and getting stronger every day as we continually learn more about You. We pray for the release of all hostages, these recent prayer requests, and may You grant us added strength to stay focused, especially against the rising anti-Semitism. Bestow courage to stand for what is good and right, never faltering in serving You. May tonight's study be a blessing unto You, as we pray in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. You know, I thought this was coming when a major church, I'm referring to the United Methodists, has now officially removed their once-standing rule that homosexuality is incompatible with Christian teaching.
They no longer think that?
It's just amazing to watch America's decline here a little, there a little, increasingly more ungodly every day, to now openly shouting Jewish hatred and American hatred.
But love for the terrorists.
Mm-hmm. And also remember, this month is the WHO's global meeting to finalize and vote on the pandemic treaty that puts our health matters under their jurisdiction.
Which can, you know, that can cover a slew of requirements.
Yeah, like we all have to get our vaccines or never leave your house, etc. And especially since the FISA no warrant bill has just been renewed.
Hey, they can enter our homes at any time.
And we all know that another pandemic is coming. As Bill Gates says, the next one will even be more deadly. However, the WHO treaty must be voted on by at least a majority of the member nations. But that's expected. And as far as the United States is concerned, which depends on how it's named, actually. So if it's called a treaty, which it is a treaty, Congress must ratify. But if it's called an agreement, Biden can sign us up on his own accord. And then, if a ruling came down from the WHO, we might not have to comply, depending on who's our president. Even so, Biden has over 6 more months. So we'll see, but I don't think Americans will take too kindly to any restrictions or rules just yet.
Unless a major pandemic arises.
Well, even Revelation 6 says it will.
Post-rapture.
Praise the Lord. And China is furious that we gave aid to Taiwan as it steps up the fentanyl shipments to the highly paid cartels in Mexico and is continuing to send us more male immigrants through our borders.
Over 200 every day.
And China is also helping to fund the anti-Israel protests on our colleges, you know, along with George Soros, the Rockefeller Fund, Carnegie Brothers.
The Ford Foundation.
Yeah, and others.
So, Biden delayed the transfer of ammunition to Israel.
Yes. We all know it's a payback. But he used the excuse that they would go to the Judean settlers and kill Palestinians, although the Jewish settlers are just trying to save their land that the Palestinians say is occupied, even though the Jews prevailed and won it all back in 1967. The biggest news, besides Israel fighting Hezbollah in the north, who, by the way, has perked up their attacks, Israel has now entered, on a small scale, into Rafah. After telling the Palestinian civilians to move over to the northwest, where tents, food, water, and even a field hospital has been set up for them. And some out of, I'd say, 1 million have moved out pretty quickly, but there's still more that need to get away from Gaza's eastern side, and that's with Egypt, due to the many tunnels on that border.
Which is where Hamas smuggles in most of its weapons.
Mm-hmm. The IDF must shut up those tunnels. Israel's acceleration was because, actually, over the weekend, Hamas shot more rockets into Israel, and they killed 4 IDF soldiers, which just invigorated Israel even more so to move into Rafah. Then Hamas agreed rather to a permanent ceasefire, which was actually a counteroffer. And, of course, that's unacceptable to Israel.
Yeah, this morning Hamas shot 4 more mortars.
Yeah, 4 more. Wow. I think that killed 2 more of the IDF where Israel had just taken over the eastern border crossing. And, again, that's where humanitarian aid enters Gaza as well.
But most of it being confiscated by Hamas.
They do. And Hamas has been stalling the negotiations to give more time for the UN and the international community, and of course Biden and Blinken, to pressure Israel to a permanent ceasefire and not enter Rafah.
But they now have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But still not with the intense ground forces. That's still coming.
Okay, with all that, we need a praise report.
Oh, we sure do. You know, last month it was Georgia, and now it's Tennessee. Approximately 8,000 students gathered together for a Christian rally put on by the Unite Us movement at a big basketball arena. And then 150 of them were baptized in the parking lot in set-up swimming pools. And that brings me great joy.
God is still at work.
Always. Praise the King.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, we welcome all of your comments and time questions either by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office, leaving a detailed message, including your phone number, 2440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are very much needed and appreciated, which includes you in our monthly updates. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will find our past radio and teaching newsletters, all archived for your added learning.
Well, last week we began looking at prophecy as the number one witnessing tool for anyone who don't believe the Bible is true. Therefore, probably would not accept what you say about being born again.
Therefore, it is our Christian duty to correct that stinking thinking.
We know the Bible has passed the litmus test by proving itself above all books to be supernatural. And prophecy proves that. In fact, other religions with their own books, like the Quran, Book of Mormon,
Watchtower,
Scientology, and many others, just don't cut it. They haven't been able to predict way ahead of time, or when they try to attempt it, as did the Jehovah's Witnesses many years ago, they are proven wrong. Anyhow, we saw last week in Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10, where God says no one but He can predict the future accurately.
He says to test Him.
And prophecy is a very good way to do it.
The second best way is archaeological proofs.
Yes, solid confirmational evidence uncovered in Israel of people and places written about in Scripture. And not just archaeologists, others too continue to literally discover hundreds of objects, like the seal of King Hezekiah discovered in Jerusalem, and many inscriptions, as in the name of Pontius Pilate, along with the role he played. And that, of course, was found at Herod's palace and other ancient sites.
Like the Pool of Bethsaida and also Siloam.
Mm-hmm. Yep, God is confirming, especially for His last generation, the accuracy of His word. And just last year, we saw the recovery of ancient Israelite DNA from the first temple period. And in northern Israel, they found a fragment of a stone inscription that clearly refers to the house of David.
And identifies David as the king of Israel.
Also a stone inscription from Egypt confirming that Israel was established as a nation in Canaan centuries before the reign of King David.
Just as the Bible claims.
And there's many more.
And the biggest find in our generation are the scrolls found at Qumran.
Oh, absolutely. Finding personal writings from Noah, Melchizedek, Judah, Levi, and the other sons of Jacob, including a testament of Dan, you know, he was of the 12 tribes, confessing his sins and warning his own sons.
Just loads of information out there.
And it's advantageous to remember at least three proofs very well, so they're on the tip of your tongue when needed. And when the Holy Spirit knows you are prepared, he will use you.
And there's also science and medical confirmation.
Yes, things written before certain knowledge was ever evident.
There are actually thousands of scientific statements in the Bible.
Yes, and never has even one of them been disproved. Mm-hmm. As in Genesis 2, verse 7, which was penned thousands of years before we had the knowledge that Moses wrote about. As in, God formed man from the dust of the earth. Well, we now know, since NASA did an analysis of the human body, that the same elements found in the dirt of the ground match the elements in us. Go figure. And we didn't always know about the huge currents pushing through the deep rivers far beneath the surface of the oceans that actually run opposite, one above the other. This helps to provide warmth to the north of the earth and is essential to refreshing the otherwise stagnant waters, constituting an essential part of the life system of our planet.
But King David knew.
Yes, he did, because he wrote about it, as in Psalm 8, verse 8, by referring to how the fish of the sea passed through the paths of the seas.
And that was in 1000 B.C., a little bit before Jacques Cousteau.
I'd say. So how could he have known that but for God? Also, Job chapter 38 speaks of the deep springs of water at the bottom of the sea. And only in the last century have we discovered numerous huge springs of fresh water pouring out of the ocean floor. And this is really cool. Literally in verse 30, Job says, "The waters harden like stone, and the surface of the deep is frozen."
Well, you know, he's describing the Arctic ice caps.
For sure. Mm-hmm. So how could a man living in ancient times in the area around, like, Saudi Arabia know that?
Only God.
And I love this, too, in Revelation 16:21. It reads that part of the earth's judgment during the tribulation will be these 100-pound balls of hail falling from the sky.
Ouch!
Well, thousands of years before the book of the Revelation was written, God asked Job in chapter 38, verse 22, if he had ever seen the treasury of hail that he has reserved for the time of trouble.
Well, you know, that's an idiom for the tribulation.
It is. Mm-hmm. I have some more truths that deal with the medical side in God's word that, again, has been there all along in the Bible and yet more recently discovered by the medical professionals. And by the way, God, outside of his miracles, often functions within the normal limitations of natural law. So anyhow, there are approximately, as you probably know, 213 medical rules in the Torah.
That's the first five books of the Bible written by Moses.
Yep. And since Moses and the Hebrews came out of a very unclean Egypt, they needed definite guidance to keep healthy. Mainly because Egypt practiced some pretty awful and certainly unsanitary customs.
Big time. Did you know the real reason the men and boys shaved their heads was because of lice?
Well, their toilets were just clay pots filled with sand.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas God told the Israelites to go out a ways and take a small implement like a shovel and bury all their excrements. And this is gross, but archaeologists have found medical scrolls written on papyrus from the area around Egypt, dating back to 1500 BC, that included about 700 how-to cures, utilizing many herbs, but approximately 300 of them contained animal and human dung in their remedies.
Now, that is shocking.
It sure is. Mm. Especially since E. coli is a major germ found in many infections.
Well, no wonder the mortality rate was so high in, or so low in Egypt.
Yes. Well, God told the Israelites, though, in the Old Testament, that if they turned from their sins and followed his commandments, that none of the terrible diseases of Egypt would affect them. And God then gave them very specific instructions with sanitation procedures. I did not realize till I was probably in my mid-30s that we ourselves had not discovered germs till the 19th century. You know, like Louis Pasteur in 1861, and he really understood that invisible and deadly microscopic germs could exist and even travel through the air, as well as be transferred on eating and cooking utensils.
Well, and certainly on medical implements.
Which is why, up until around the 20th century, the same doctor would perform an autopsy in one room and proceed to the next room to deliver a baby.
And sometimes not even washing his hands in between.
Yeah, yuck. But God in his word, 3,500 years ago, in Leviticus 11, instructed that all metal pots and utensils be scoured and rinsed under running water while discarding all cracked pottery. They didn't know exactly why so much scrubbing, but we now know that microscopic germs can embed in the cracks that could be very harmful if ingested.
The same rules applied to all booty taken from the enemy.
He also taught them about quarantine laws that we didn't know about till the 1900s. So to avoid the spreading of germs, as in the case of Miriam's leprosy.
That was Moses' sister.
Right. She had to stay, remember, outside the camp for an entire 7 days, even after her sores were gone, to be sure of no contamination to others. And when a man died in their tent, everything must be purified, including all vessels, with the ashes of a red heifer. Because we now know these ashes are a form of lye, which is L-Y-E, that kills bacteria.
And so they used it in the temple.
Right, to cleanse their sacrificial implements and containers. And they will again.
Many plagues could have been halted, even in my grandparents' day, if biblical principles were followed.
So no one better tell me the Bible isn't inspired by God himself.
And the one about circumcision is really amazing.
Oh, for sure it is. So God told Moses to circumcise all baby boys at 8 days old. First of all, we now know that circumcision is more sanitary and that the biggest spread of AIDS is among uncircumcised males in the third world countries.
But why the 8th day?
Because blood clotting is at its highest in newborns on the 8th day due to the higher levels of vitamin K and prothrombin that rise to its peak, but only on the 8th day.
Thus diminishing excessive bleeding.
Mm-hmm. And the chance of infection. And then the levels, this is amazing, then the levels decrease continually to a stabilized point. Again, Moses could not have known this, but for God.
Today we give baby boys a shot of vitamin K.
True. So bottom line, who wrote the Bible? Mere man alone?
Not possible. In Leviticus 17:11, God says that life is in the blood.
Boy, is that a true statement. Only about 150 years ago did we find out the importance of that scripture. Your heart pumps 1.5 million gallons of blood every year.
40 million pumps in a lifetime.
Which feeds 6 trillion cells along with 75,000 miles of veins, blood vessels, capillaries, and arteries in your body. Could this all happen by a Big Bang chance?
No, David says. Psalm 139, we are wondrously made.
That is such a beautiful, beautiful psalm. Mm-hmm. And now, with the discovery of DNA, it proves only God could have created us. Yep. Just the very tiniest of a cell in your body denotes everything about you and why many scientists are finally having to reject evolution. That's really happening. Which, by the way, even Darwin, before his death, admitted it was only a theory.
With many missing links.
And, as we often say, one of the signs of his return, according to Daniel 12:4, is the explosion of knowledge. And boy, do we have that today.
Can't deny that prophecy.
No way. Oh, there is so much more evidence. Actually, volumes are written to support the fact that there is a divine God who created us and gave us a manual for life. How sad. Many don't even read it and are willing to sacrifice their eternal life on the chance that the Bible is not the Word of God. Even though He doesn't always expect you to come to Him on blind faith, which is why He's given us plenty of evidence, and we've only touched the surface the last couple of weeks. And in fact, let me say that Christianity has proof galore more than any other religion. And we have a risen Savior, who, by the way, is coming back. And that's a promise. If you're listening out there and you have never made Jesus Lord over your life, do it now. And if you're just not sure, do it again. Be certain you don't just have a head knowledge. He needs to be in your heart. He wants to know you. And I want to leave you with number 6, and that's verse 22. And I suggest that you memorize this and say it often, especially pray it over your children. And it goes like this. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, that lasting shalom. It's worth it. If you haven't invited Him in, get on your knees right now. Now's the time. And so till next week, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for all our leaders and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Because those who love Jerusalem, you're going to prosper in many, many ways. Again, go tell someone about the Lord. We're running out of time. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.